Hey friends, for today's quick and bonus episode, we interview the very awesome Brighton-based Ollie Shelton, one half of the pop duo Pella, and the composer of the music for this podcast. In today's episode, Ollie shares his story about his first musical instrument, a digital keyboard from his grandpa. He also shares his work as a composer and what inspired him when he composed the music for our very own theme song, of which we will play in full for the very first time. We welcome Ollie Shelton to the table. I have you on board because you composed this really amazing song for the podcast. And it's like a five to six minute song, a four to five.
Yeah, I think it's just over six, isn't it?
It's a 6 minute song. And because of the structure of the podcast, you don't really get to hear the whole song. So I want to take this bonus episode as an opportunity for the listeners who love our intro and outro to hear the whole song and to meet the guy who composed it and everything.
That's very kind.
I mean, it's a great opportunity. Yeah, definitely. So yeah. I've pre-recorded the bio at the front end of this episode, but if you'd like to explain to the listeners all over who you are, what you do.
So I'm Ollie Shelton. I'm a producer, composer, and mix engineer, mainly specializing in the kind of the modern classical and electronic areas right now, but I also do quite a lot of pop, and I'm also a pianist, which is where everything started off, I would say.
You started with piano?
Yeah, I started having piano lessons when I was probably about eight. I was trying to remember earlier today, and that's what started the kind of the production trail as well, I think, because you remember back when you had those keyboards that had all sorts of weird noises on them when you used to flick through them. It was
like the toy keyboards, like they weren't even serious.
I still have some of them now because some of the sounds on them, if you mess with them in the right way, they're actually, timeless.
Right.
Particularly like, the Casio keyboards from the 80s and 90s.
Who gifted you your first keyboard?
It was actually my granddad. He lives in LA and he came over and he brought one of these keyboards with him.
Is anyone else in your family also in music or?
No one actually. Oh. It's just everyone likes it and there's just always been music in the house.
Your granddad had like a gut instinct that this kid needed a keyboard.
I think he wanted me to be a musician and that turned out quite well for him.
Wish come true.
There you go.
So you started when you were eight and you're professionally trained.
Yeah. So I continued with piano formally training right up until 18 or so.
You're based in?
I'm in Brighton, UK. So right on the South Coast.
You trained around there and are you still training or are you professionally already a composer and an artist?
I left uni 2 years ago, I think it was. Yeah. And I just kind of made the decision there and then that I'm going to go straight into this and try and make it work. And I was gifted with a lot of great opportunities, meeting a lot of musicians in London at the time. So I studied in London. I joined a lot of choirs as well, because I do a bit of singing, but not singing, not like a vocalist in that sense. But
what kind of, is it like religious choir or general choir?
Well, there are two particular ones. One of them was the church style choir. Mm-hmm. And one of them was a very contemporary session choir, if you like. So we did backing vocals for bands like Keane, Basement Jacks.
Wow.
Charlotte Church.
Amazing.
Yeah, they're called London Contemporary Voices. And through that, I just met so many like-minded musicians and songwriters, artists, all of this. And then I just started collaborating and working from there. So that was all while I was at uni. And I just carried on, basically.
That's fantastic. So you're doing a lot of stuff right now. What are all of the things that you're currently doing?
The biggest one would be the duo I'm in, the band called Pella. We recently signed a publishing deal at the start of the year. Yeah, it's been a full-on year just with that, really. Building our first EP, first collection of five or six tracks it's going to be.
When are we going to get the first EP out?
We think it's going to be the whole thing will be out by August, but there'll be stuff before then.
That's amazing. I mean, there's already a few things by Pella on, on streaming services.
We were kind of testing the water with them, I would say. Mm-hmm. Just seeing what worked and what didn't work. And if you listen to them, they're all quite different songs.
Right. Because so what direction are you guys going to go forward with your new publishing deal?
Yeah, when you bring more people into your music, you suddenly get a whole range of opinions.
Right.
Coming from different kind of sides of the...
Yeah, because there's more investors, or not there are more people invested in your success.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what publishing is. So you kind of have to, I mean, they are the nicest people. And after any advice they give, they're very clear that we don't have to take it. In general, it's such good advice that we're like, oh, we want to bring some of that in at least somehow, you know. It was just being guided really into the direction that we would want to be going in anyway. Right. This is just people giving us advice on how to streamline it a bit more. And we're also working with another producer now, a guy called Daniel Moyler, who recently won a Grammy.
Wow,
a
few weeks that's ago amazing.
With Dua Lipa.
Brilliant.
Yeah, he's where I want to be in 10 years or so. Put it that way. So it's amazing to be working with him. He's really bringing a lot to it. So we hope that these next tracks will be a big step up.
So you said Pella is a duo. So who is the other person in the group?
So the other person is Hannah Coombs, who's a vocalist, songwriter.
So for the group, she's the vocalist and you're the, you know,
everything else. She's also the lyricist. She's don't really get involved.
Okay.
I'm not too good with words, so I leave that to her.
Have you guys had live shows together yet?
Oh, we did a few.
Yeah.
A few little ones. And then the obvious happened and nothing's really started in the UK.
Yes, obviously.
But we've got one booked in, a festival actually, in July.
Wow.
And fingers crossed that goes ahead.
So you're composing for Pella. You composed for me in a way. I'm so happy. I've never worked with a composer for anything for me before, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've never worked with on design, you know, in that area either. So it's new for both of us.
Yeah. You know, I had an inkling to start something. I've been thinking about starting something for a while. I just feel that the last couple of years have left people quite fragmented and pulled apart. Mm. And wherever you stand on any issue or any line, I just felt that I had to do something. I'm not like a guru. I'm a designer. I'm an interior designer, as everybody knows. And I'm not a priest. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not Oprah Winfrey. But what I can do is give a podcast platform for different people who are also like-minded, not necessarily religiously or spiritually, but like-minded, who wants to help other people, you know, be less fragmented, be more aligned. So it was very important to have a podcast that sounded very professional and very, not necessarily serious, but I don't want to waste anyone's time, you know. And one of the most important things about a podcast is production and also the tone, and tonally the music has to be right.
It's the coherence across the whole thing, isn't it? Coherence of production, coherence of music, coherence of guests, and you as well, and just the flow of everything. It's like it's getting on a train and not being knocked off it, you know, not stopping the train, just keeping it going throughout the whole episode.
You know what, I had no idea. Honestly, we met on a messaging board of a membership website, and and I put up there, I said, I need someone to help me with intro and outro for this podcast. I don't know what to call it. And then you were the first to reply, and actually a bunch of other people replied after that, but you were the first to reply, and there was like 10 replies. You were wanting to see how you could compose for me, but the rest were like, use this service, use that service. How many people have asked you to compose for them for different things?
The amount of people I've worked with on various things, be it composing for their brand, if you like, because I have done some work with actual brands and sonic identities of that thing.
Wow. It's called Sonic Identity.
Yeah, they call it stunning branding or something like that. And it's really important if you think about it, and becoming more and more so, just having that tiny little musical eye dance. Well, it doesn't even have to be music. That's but a lot of what I do is actually doing it just for other people's artists.
Right.
Artist projects, so songwriting or producing for them. And with that, it's very important to, number one, they're the boss, you know, really respect what they're going for and how you can fit something that really takes their expectations and goes a little bit beyond it without letting your ego do it for the sake of yourself.
Yes.
You know, me, the producer, it's not about that. It's about doing something that really fits. That's how I approach any project, to be honest.
Right.
It doesn't really matter what it's for. It can be quite diverse in that sense.
For our music together, what generally inspired you to create that amazing song?
I hate these questions.
Oh my God. Okay.
This kind of question. No. I'll try and answer it because I get asked it a lot. Like, you know, what was the inspiration for this track? And the truth is it's not something that I can put into words because it just goes, it kind of flows through. It happens. I guess, obviously I was thinking about the idea of, well, just the themes of the podcast, spirituality mixed with design, the type of guests you were getting on early on at the time. So I guess thinking about giving it space and space to breathe, you know, almost like fabricating what I perceive as design into a song was the end goal of it. And I do not know much about interior design at all, but from limited ideas about it, that was what I was going for.
I think the words that I like from you is the concept of the space to breathe. I tried to do a lot of that for my own interior design work, but actually, when I first heard the draft of the song, what I loved about it is it, I don't know anything about music, okay? So is it four counts? One,
yes.
Two, three, four. One, two, three, four.
Exactly.
And the four counts is actually what I use for breathing in and out during meditation. I would breathe in for four. I would exhale for four. And then I would breathe in for four and exhale. It's called box breathing.
Right.
When I received the draft and it was like a four counts in, out, I started just naturally breathing to the beats. So I didn't know if that was a conscious decision on your part or just like a subconscious one.
I wasn't thinking about specifically box breathing when I was writing. But I think there was an element of thinking, right, it needs to be at this kind of speed, quite a slow pace. It's almost like a slow hip-hop kind of tempo because hip-hop is generally about 90 BPM. And it's a little bit slower than that, I think. But I think that mixed with actual space within the parts, so it's quite clear where those four counts are, led it to the things that you're describing it as. So one conscious decision led to someone else's, your conscious perception of it, I would say.
Yeah, I also love that it doesn't sound hokey. It doesn't sound folksy. It's still quite contemporary and it's still quite, you know, it's timeless. It sounds modern and clean. And also it sounds quite hopeful. Was that part of my brief to you or...
The modern, clean, contemporary, but not cheesy, I think was, it was something like that, wasn't it?
I didn't want something too cheesy or too spiritual, know, like gongs and shit.
I think the big thing on that is choice of sounds, really, isn't it?
It's
using really high quality sounds, which are unusual, but not obviously taken from a certain, you know, gamelan Bali culture, basically, because that's the obvious go-to, that kind of gamelan sound, I guess. But
yeah, especially when you're doing something that, like this, like esoteric stuff. So I was so happy that you were the first to reply. I had a time crunch because I wanted it out. You know, you gave me the final cut a couple of days before I published the first podcast, episode one. It was literally hitting the mark. Actually, I looked back and listened to all the other people who replied on that thread. And honestly, their samples didn't sound anything like your samples that you sent me. Others were like hard rock, hip hop, you know, like edgy hip hop and all this stuff. And I was like, oh my God, if Ollie never replied to my post, I would have probably gone with another composer and I would have had a completely different sound. And I think that's quite nice because it's like, even though I put the request out there, you found me, and this whole podcast is all about alignment. So I thought that was
meant to be.
Hopefully. Meant to be. Absolutely. Yeah. Always meant to be. And if it's not meant to be, don't force it. And other people also gave me different websites for licensed tracks and free tracks. I could tell people why I recommend working with an actual artist for a bespoke custom piece of music. But what is your perspective on like those licensed services versus working with an actual artist?
Sure. I mean, the licensed services, music libraries, they're generally called, they can be a really great thing. And a lot of big production companies across all media use them heavily. And there's a lot of great music within them as well. It's just what you see is what you get there. You're generally not really going to be able to ask for any changes within the tracks, particularly not with the big libraries.
Right.
So working with an individual for a bespoke track means that you can just really, you can be very detailed in the brief. And if you're working with the right person, they should be able to decipher that musically and turn it into exactly what you're envisioning. It's that more personal relationship, which to me is slightly lacking with some music libraries, but obviously for me, you can't beat the one-on-one thing. And I enjoy that. And I have written for libraries as well.
Right.
I have done some of that, but
I think for those who know me and know my work, most of the stuff I do is quite custom. So another one person's house or restaurant is not going to look like another person's house or restaurant. Everything is bespoke. So I consider a parallel in what you do for the people you collaborate with, that it's unique, it's personal, and really aligned with a vision. And that's really why people should work with an artist for a unique custom piece if they can.
Which I'm really, really big on. When I'm working with an artist, I want to be there from as soon as the song is written, basically.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not doing every stage myself, I want to at least be hearing what other people have done and then right up until release. And I care about how people release music as well, because otherwise you can just waste really great material by not releasing it properly or not getting it mixed properly or mastered properly. And very similar with this, if we're not really on the same page the whole way through, you know, the whole point of the personal link is lost.
How has it been like being a musician and an artist in the last year or the last couple of years?
Well, fortunately, the majority of things that I do are remote anyway. I just get sent files. So it's been pretty good for me.
Great.
As far as
like you and me, right?
Yeah,
we did it all digitally and remotely.
You know, 7 hours time difference. Mm-hmm. No biggie. But obviously, a lot of colleagues and friends have been hit very hard by it because a lot of people play a lot of live music and that's how they make their living.
Absolutely.
They really shut down. But we're all very excited when that does pick up again.
Absolutely, because you do a lot of composing and more so than live stuff, although you do live stuff. Amazing. So this year we're going to expect a new EP from you, Pela, P-E-L-A, on all streaming services, I assume. And you can purchase, I guess, on iTunes or wherever.
iTunes, Bandcamp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Might do a Bandcamp if we're lucky.
You're right. And again, it's O_S_music on Instagram and OllieSheltonMusic.com. So if you want to reach out to Ollie while he's still available to do stuff, he may be super busy in the next couple of years, you know? So very, very lucky to have Ollie on board creating this beautiful piece of music. And thank you, Ollie. We're going to listen to the full track of the Aligned by Design song.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great to dive into things.
Yes, here is the full song of the Aligned by Design theme by Ollie Shelton.
Mind by Design was brought to you by Archipelago Media, a division of Archipelago Limited, Hong Kong. Our amazing theme music was composed for us by Ollie Shelton, a Brighton-based composer, producer, and pianist specializing in ambient, electronic, and alternative music. He is half of the UK duo Pella and works alongside a range of up-and-coming artists and established acts around the globe. You may contact him on Instagram at @O_S_music and OllieSheltonMusic.com. That's OLLY Shelton Music.com. You may contact me on Instagram at JJ.ACUNA. That's at JJ.ACUNA. You may also follow us on our new Instagram account for the podcast at Align by Design with JJ. That's at Align by Design with JJ. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We thank our guests and partners of the podcast, and as always, take time to align by your very own design, whatever that may be.